right? Short hard the little gomer. Told the Karen might be. Yeah. Got it?
Okay.
Yeah. Unless he comes in against the sign and swipes it right out of your
Yeah.
Okay, eight down, take it away. Told the Karen might be. Bending its legs and then plopping itself. They don't, kind of tuck themselves into the bed. It's only in, children's books. Right? That's what the animals do. Okay, so what did Rashi say? Nikifa, yeah?
Nikifa,
Shadafa,
tension to damage.
Presumably the fact that Rashi threw it with the tension to damage is important. Right? It's not just the action, but it's more than just the action because we're looking for a tolda of Karen. What's the av of Karen? The av of Karen again is goring, and we already had a mention in the past, right at the beginning on Beis HaMinhal, when Tosfos mentioned the idea of Kavanoso Lahazik. Right? So it's not going to be surprising, we got to pay attention to that. Good. So that's Negifa, one of the totals of Karen. Next.
Rabbi Shars and Kayla and Dara,
Halka.
Halka, Ravza,
Ravza, Alayan.
So it goes, it walks on top of vessels in order to break. Meaning it goes for, it sounds like also Halka.
Right. What's interesting about this one, and what you get to sort of pay attention to in Rashi, is again, what does Ravza mean? What?
Lay down the Ravza.
Right. So again, it's not that the animal, we normally would think of the damage that happens by an animal flopping itself down as unintentional. As unintentional, right? Usually when the animal plops itself down and breaks something, we would not have necessarily thought that we're talking about a case where it sees it and goes, the animal is, figuring out, what's the best way to break that clay? I'm going to smush it with my body weight. Not by stepping on it, but by, crouching on top of it and plopping myself down. So Rashi is telling us that, again, it must be that we're talking about a case where saw the clay and crouched down on top of it in order to break it. How does he know that's the case? Because otherwise, what?
Not a told of
character. Good. Right? Again, because Rashi is focusing on the fact that it needs to be with Kavan. Good. Next, Rashi.
How do you know that it
has to be? How do you know that it has to be? It's a good question. But we didn't see anything in the Gemara that tells us that yet. We didn't see anything that tells us that yet. The truth is that it's based on a lot of other Gemaras later on that do reveal it, but we'll have to see it as it develops. So Rashi is certainly clearing, cluing us in that that's an important factor. Good. Next, Rashi.
Kicking. Right. Shabbat, the Raglaya,
the
Kicking the beach, the Shabara
has a game of breaking the vessel. Wait, so stop there a second, right? It kicks. So this time it sees the vessel and it, punts it. Right? Kicks the vessel.
Nitin Rashi does not say in order to break it, but I guess,
right, it's not like, when kids are walking and they start kicking rocks. Oh, well, so that raises a good question that some of you guys asked during Seder. Right, a lot of these sound like they should be told those of other avos. Right, Nishiha certainly sounds like shame, that you bite with your teeth. This case, kicking certainly sounds like regel. Ve'ita, maybe you could have connected as well to regel. So the Gemara is actually going to ask that later on. Hopefully you won't lose too much sleep over Bena's mana, you know, wondering what the Gemara is going to answer to that. But Rashi, again, presumably means that why else would the animal kick? Not walk, it says kick, unless it's trying to break it. So I think in this case, the intention is included. What's the raya that Rashi has to mean that? It's from the continuation of Rashi. Right? Okay, read the continuation of Rashi. Very, very important. Pay very close attention to what Rashi says now. No, and because of this,
Kikaren.
Right? It has kavana lahazik kikaren, just like karen. Kava. The A. Zeka kikaren. So Rashi tells us that there are three characteristics that make something into a tolda of Karen. If I need to figure out what are the defined, again, we know what the action of, we know what the action of the of Karen is, right? That's goring. So that we know. It takes its horn and it gores something, that is Karen. But if we have to define a tolda, so we know that a tolda is going to have to be similar to the Av. But we need to draw out from this what characteristics of the Av remain afterwards, and that we can subcategorize into Tolda. So Rashi tells us that there are three characteristics. The first one is, yeah, right, Kavana Lahazik. Right? And he writes, he's right, Ki Karen, just like Karen. Second one is Ein Hana'a Lahazikah. What does that mean? Who?
The
sure. Sure. Hold on for one second. Right? Ein Hana'a Lahazikah. Ein Hana'a Lahazikah. The animal is not benefiting at all from the damage that is happening. Shane, we said, that's another Zeka. Now, without using the, you know, same Gemara later on, can you figure out why is Neshicha a tolda of Karen and not a tolda of Shane?
Well, Shane is not.
Because what?
The Shane you do get.
Right, that's going to be the difference in the definition. The difference in the definition. When it comes to Shane, there is going to be Hana. Here, there is. Maybe that'll work. Here, there is, again, if it was just the action, then Lechora, Shane, I'm sorry, Neshicha, is most similar to Shane. But when you're looking deeper at the defining characteristics, it doesn't matter that I'm using my teeth. The same way I could be using my teeth to hold on to the Karen and Gore, and that could even be an Av, because who cares that my teeth are involved, the teeth of the animal are involved. Right? The Neshicha Dina No Lazeka. You'll say, but who doesn't, you know, if you're angry at somebody, you give them a bite, isn't that Hana? Okay, we'll talk about that. No, that's not what we're talking about. There's no direct Hana. The animal that's biting is no different than the animal kicking. It's an action that the animal is doing in order to damage. Oh, so I think on your own, you guys are going to be able to answer why, one of the cases, why Neshicha is not part of a different one. And again, that's why it's so significant that Rashi is breaking down for us what are these three characteristics. And the third characteristic was, or is? Tadir. What about Tadir?
It's not
Tadir. Would you mind asking the rest of the guys not to come in? It says in the door, but it's a little disturbing when we're trying to learn.
Sorry.
Thanks. If you could just mention it to anybody else that's planning on coming, they come in at 2:30. Thank you. I'm trying to be mean, but we've got to learn. Okay. Ein Ezekah Matzoi Tomei, right?
make matzoi tamei.
Means? So meaning it's not common.
So the Rashi is not just this case or all the ones that we mentioned.
Sound? He says ki kevin, right? The words. What? Vilahaki is almost like a separate Dibra Maska, meaning it's connected to the previous one. But right now, after we define the actions of three out of the four things that the Braisa listed as Toldos of Keren, he's telling us, well, what about them? Let's look at all of them together. Let's get Keren, and let's try to figure out what are the characteristics that define something as being a Toldo of Keren. And these three things emerge. Why is Ein Hazeka Matzoi Tamid significant? And how do we know that that's a significant factor in Keren? How do we know, again, what is this? Do we know what this means? Do we understand what this means? Ein Hazeka Matzoi Tamid is that it's not very prevalent. This type of damage is not prevalent. It doesn't happen all the time. How do we see that that's a significant factor in Keren? What about Keren tells us that?
It's
Tom. Oh, right? Because there's a distinction in the Torah between Tam and Mu'ad. Right? Why? Because why is it different? Because when it's Tam, when we're not expecting it, then the level of responsibility of what we're expecting in terms of Shmira is less. Because yes, you're responsible for your animal. We're not going to say you're not responsible. But your level of responsibility is less. Once you've been warned three times, and we see that this animal has a tendency to do that, you know what happens?
It's no longer
in the Zeka Matzai Tamid. Now, it shifts into, again, it's still going to be a told of Karen because of the Mu'ad aspect of it, but that aspect it loses, and now you have more responsibility. And as we said already a few shiurim ago, right, that fi of Shmira is essential. It's an essential component of this distinction between Tam and Mu'ad. Yes?
It's still called Keren, whether it's short Tam.
Correct. Because we see that within Keren, there is still such thing as a Keren when it becomes that. Meaning, the fact that when it comes to Keren, Keren itself, when it's Mu'ad, has its own dinim. So those dinim carry over when an animal does something which is not normally prevalent, and it has the other two, but for its animal it is prevalent.
Right, we're saying animal.
It doesn't take it out of the category.
Meaning in general, it's not...
Correct. We take a poll of oxen and ask them, do you like to bite your in order to damage? And most of them say, only infrequently. And then off of that we take it. Yes!
Why would a short mu'ah still be part of Karen?
Because that's part of the dinim of Karen. The dinim of Karen, right, are that we have a tam, and we have a tam and we have a mu'ah. Mu'ah would basically be saying that if I possess the other two, and I've gone through a process of taking myself out of the category that for me was
once.
Right.
Once. It's like saying, like, what if an animal didn't have to run into war one time? Still, like, one of the characteristics that generally it does.
Presumably, right. Again, we can't interview the animal and ask the animal if it has kavanah l'hazik.
No, what I'm saying, like, my point is that they don't always have to be present factor necessarily. It just has to be something that usually...
Correct. Again, these are the basic factors. We'll see. Meaning, maybe there are if you have an animal that is more dangerous, so how does that fit in? It might still be in the category of Karen, but it might not be
what we would call coyote.
Meaning,
this is specifically an ox.
What did Rashi say? One second. No, not specifically. It might be specifically to an ox as opposed to a lion. I mean, you might keep a lion at home.
But a lion is not a horse.
No, but as a toldo. A lion is a zeke matzoi tamid. What?
A lion is not a tamid.
That's what I'm saying. The lion lacks this characteristic, and therefore the dina may be different. But it's not going to necessarily not be Keren. It's just not going to be like Keren that we have a level of a tam and a mu'ah. Maybe there will be times when we have to go straight to mu'ah. So these are all... sugyas that are going to come up later. What Rashi, and again, if you sort of remember where the Gemara is coming off, how did this Gemara start? Is trying to figure out. Rav Papa told us that we have places where it's on the Sanar Kotze, but any cases where it's not Kotze. So now the Gemara has to start exploring which are Kotze Ben and which are not Kotze Ben. That's what we're trying to figure out. So when Rashi says, right after he says these characteristics making it into a Tolda, how does the Rashi finish? He says it's Ki Keren. In what sense? That there's a distinction between Tam and Mu'ad. Right, that's the end of the Rashi. Right, that's how Rashi finishes it, right? It says, Behilka, Abu Ki Keren. It's like Keren. In what sense? Dechol Eimas, that as long as the Lahua, the Bebez, and Gimel Ba'amim, Bekat, Eino Mishalem, Es Nezek Shalem. As long as it hasn't gone through the process of becoming a Mu'ad, you don't pay Nezek Shalem. You don't pay Nezek Shalem. So if one of these characteristics are different, maybe it could still be like Keren, but not in this aspect. Not in the Tam switching to Mu'ad type of characteristic. Good? Oh, beautiful. So now we've established, Rashi has told us the three characteristics that define something as a Tolda.
He's just saying there's cases of Tam.
All of these cases have halakhos of Tam and Mu'ad, right? The finish is which ones they are. Meaning, it's only after the Gemara listed off these things that we know that all of these three characteristics are true. If I just told you Keren, you may not on your own, you may have, I may not on my own, have figured out that these three characteristics of Keren are the ones to use to define something as a told of it.
Okay.
Right.
But
once the Braita tells me that it's Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza, and Ve'ita, then I'm now looking, and Rashi's doing the work for us. Well, okay, what do these cases have in common? Again, he's also using some of the Gemara later on. I'm not going to, it's not all Rashi, just figuring out his head. But it's Rashi sort of summarizing for us what are those characteristics. So then once I know that, there may be other tolos. The tolos don't have to be listed, don't have to be limited to these.
So
it may be, but
so what is the difference? Is Rashi trying to show that basically this Kiyotze Ben and this Tolkien's 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 Tolkien's
That's part of what he's trying to show.
Yeah. In what sense? In terms of having either the baby as a Shalom and Kasi Nezik?
Exactly what he says. He says,
so the finish really is that, first of all, that these aren't the Tolkien's.
Right.
And that Tolkien's also, in this case, at least have both Tolkien and
yes.
As opposed to maybe some Tolkien's only have one.
That's going to be the Hemshin.
Or whatever.
That's going
to
be the Hemshin.
That's what they're trying to
get at. Yes. Okay, good. Not sure.
I think that answered my question.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. That's what Gemara said. Okay, back to the Gemara.
So, guys, can I answer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, right. So, if Rapunzel already said that there are Kayotze Ben and not Kayotze Ben, so that these rules about Toldos for Karen are only necessary to determine between Nezek, was it Tetsi Nezek and Nezek Shalim? Like, why is it necessary if there are going to be Toldos that are not Kayotze?
You have to know what the halacha is.
Or
if an animal bites another animal,
right?
What kind of money do you have to pay?
Right.
So if you said that it's connected to Shane. Shane has no din of Chatzi Nezek, and Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalom is unique to the category of Keren. If it was not a told of Keren, it's not going to have that split. So it's a very big nachkamina in halacha. When you're going to Beis Din, and Beis Din is going to Mechayim and tell what you should pay, it's very important to know which category it's in. That's what we're trying to do, and Rashi's just trying to help us out a little bit by making it easier for us to categorize it.
We'll
have to figure it out. That was very the next few blocks. We're gonna get there. Okay. Says the Gemara. Maishna negira the kari le'av the tzidkiga. What's different about negira and negifa? When it comes to negira, we said that it is considered to be an av. Why is negira considered to be an av? says, Higa, this is Higa, because in the Torah it's a type of damage. Says the Gemara, Negifa Namik Sivki Higa.
What do you mean?
Just the films of the laying Torah says Ki Higa. So as much as Negifa should be an Av, Negifa should also be an Av. So Negifa should be on the list of Avos, not of Tolos. What on earth is the price talking about? Says the Gemara, Hi, Negifa, Negifa, oh, don't worry. When the Torah says Ki Yigo in the later Pasuk, it really means Negifa. It really means Negifa. Okay, that's an easy answer, right? Torah says Negifa, but it doesn't mean it. It means Negifa. Easy way out, right? Oh, not so simple. Not so simple. So says the Gemara. The Gemara needs to prove it, right? It's not something that we can say on its own. Right? The Gemara is relearning the fact that the Negifa and the is here, is considered to be Negifa. The Gemara has to know that from somewhere. So this Sanya that it says in the Braisa Pasa, Benegifa Besim Benegifa. It starts with Negifa and it ends with Negifa. What starts with Negifa and ends with Negifa? The Pasuk it says Kiyigo, right later on, refers to it as a Shur Naga.
What? Because we on our own may not have noticed the Pasuk.
So the Braisa points out to us the fact that the Pasuk switches language is there to teach us this important idea that this Pasuk, when it says Negifa, means Negifa. Yeah? Oh. So the Braisa, we didn't say it on our own. It wasn't just we were stuck in a corner and we needed a good answer, so we decided to say that Negifa doesn't really mean Negifa, it means Negifa. And again, Negifa pushing with the body, Negifa goring with the horn. No, the Pasuk is hinting to us that that's the case. How can those words possibly be connected? So not so bad, right?
Arthur, the ones that were before.
Which ones that were what before?
The largest thing before.
I don't think any of those were complete sentences. Okay. Help me out.
Okay, well, we just said Kiga, and then we said Kigo. Are those two in the second?
Yeah.
And then the one over here is one.
Torah says, again, we have a Pasuk in Perek Kapala Pasuk Kapkas that says, Vichi Giga Shur Asisho Asisho. The ox gores a man or a woman. That says Yiga. A few psukim later, we have a pasuk in pasuk lamed hey. It says v'chi yigo shor as shor re'eu v'meis. When a shor pushes another animal and it dies, and then the next pasuk says oh no da. And then we find out ki shor nagato. The pasuk lamed gav refers to this shor that did it multiple times as a shor naga. Right? Why is it a shor nagaf? It should be a shor nagaf. But it's not. Why does the Torah use the word negicha as describing this is a gorer, as a shor that gores, instead of nagaf? So Bryce tells us, the fact that Torah switches us is because they're not so far apart. Nagaf is the definition of ego here. What do the words have to do with each other? That's not so complicated. It's all about pushing. So nagaf is a broader term for one animal pushing into another animal, or pushing into another living thing. Negicha is the specific action, of the horn specifically being pushed into the other ox, not just being the body being pushed. That's negicha. So negicha is almost a specific form of negifa. Oh, so now we have an answer to the question. So why is negifa not counted? Negifa in terms of pushing, there's a pushing of the body, not counted as an av. It's not counted as an av not what the Torah meant. And it has to be in the pasuk. Ye go, and the pasuk means negicha. Ye go, the pasuk means negicha. Good? Okay.
Wait, no, can't you say that negicha just means like a status of the animal? It's a habitual accord.
Yeah?
Can't you say that it's just an
official report? Guys, I'm really sorry we can't do this. We're trying to learn, we tried to put up there. So come and get it. It does. But why is it, if we're talking about pushing and not about goring, why is it calling it a habitual gorer? It should be a habitual pusher. You're right. No, it's in the context of it being habitual that it's saying it.
But it's using a different word.
Right, it's using the word negicha.
Generally
the same thing. What?
It's generally the same thing.
Exactly. Wait. In this pasuk, they're the same thing. The form of pushing of ye goat in this pasuk is negicha.
Goring.
Correct. Okay.
That's what Rashi
meant
to say as well.
Well, let's see Rashi. We didn't see Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Maishna negicha dekari la'av dechsiv ki'igo ki'iga negipa nam iksiv ki'igo shor isha shor yeyo. The kegon de negipa ksiv te avin ame'av. That's the kasha of the Gemara. Since it says yigo from the pasuk, it should be considered to be an av. Gemara says, hach negipa negichahu velo dechifa saguf. So this case of negifa is negifa, and not the normal definition that we would give to negifa, which is pushing with the body. How do we know that? Because, look inside, pasach ha-kasuv b'negifa, the pasach starts out with negifa, ki yigok shor isha shor yeyu, right, if the shor pushes the other one. But siyem b'negifa, but it concludes with negifa, oh no, that is a quote from the pasach. Oh no, da kishur nagachu. Vivoksiv kishur nagach. Who? Ella nagach. It describes it as a gore, not a pusher. So it must be. And the Bryce is not playing, you know, word games with us. The Bryce is paying attention, close attention to the pasuk. If the pasuk describes the animal that does negifa numerous times as a nagach, that must be that negifa means negifa in the pasuk. Yes, we'll explain why the Torah did that. We have to ask that question.
Yeah, why did it say negifa at all?
No, why did it say negifa at all? Yigo.
Negifa.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's teaching us that negifa just is a term that it can go either way. It's a very general term that if you just
maybe
need another specifier with it.
Maybe. You have to figure out why we want to teach that. The Gemara is going to give us an answer. So says the Gemara. Because it doesn't mean pushing here. The word, you're right, the word appears in the Torah, but the word, when it appears in the Torah, is not referring to the action of pushing. So can't be, the pushing can't be enough. Oh. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks what you guys just asked. So why on earth did it switch the language? Right? Maishna gabe adam dechsiv ki yigo, maishna gabe bema dechsiv ki yigo. If yigo means the same thing as yigach, right? If the gifa and the gifa are the same thing, so let the Torah just be consistent and always say the gifa. So the Brice is paying attention and says, well, the contexts are slightly different. What is the context when we're calling it negicha? Is it sure that it's goring a? Adam, a person. In what context does it say negicha when a shore is being, when it's goring a? Behema. So the Gemara says that must be the difference. Now we just need to understand why that difference, right? As we said in the past, that's a chiluk, but why is that chiluk machal? It's a distinction. Why is that distinction important? So the Gemara will tell us. It says the Gemara. Adam, the Islay Mazala, when it comes to a person who has mazal, ksiv kiyiga. Behema de lesle mazala, ksiv kiyigo. Why is it different? Because a person has mazal. Since a person has mazal, it says kiyiga.
Okay,
Because the behemoth does not have manlo, it says...
Nikifa. Very good, thank you very much. What on earth does that mean? What on earth does that mean? What is mazel? What does mazel have to do with anything? Well, that's the obvious difficulty. So says Rashi, HaKadosh, says Rashi, Adam Nisle Mazola, Sheyesh Lo Das Lishmor Eskufo. What does mazel mean? That a person has the intellectual ability, the intellectual prowess, the IQ, has enough knowledge to be able to protect himself. Therefore, continue, Ksiv Ki'iga. Therefore it says, Ki'iga, Devada Iskavin Ashar Lahara, Ubala Bikoa. So Rashi is telling us that the language of Nekicha is a stronger action of the behemoth. So since a person is more difficult to gore, because he can be more elusive, because he has das, therefore it must be that the animal had to work harder in order to be able to do the goring. Ava negifa, but the word negifa, havi mashma shematsu ome vidakwa bekarna. That just sounds like, you know, the animals are walking next to each other, and you know, just decide, boom! You know, and the poke its horns through its ox neighbor. Through its ox neighbor. So it's a weaker action in terms of the overall cruelty and intent of it, sounds like, on behalf of the behemoth. Therefore, it says negifa. So isle mazala, according to Rashi, has to do with the ability to watch oneself from the animal. However, Rashi throws in another lashon. Lishna karina isle mazala ve'eno noach lahamiso benegifa di dechivas keren ma'at. Islam Azala means it's more difficult to do and requires a harder action as opposed to Nagifa. What's the difference between the second Lashon of Rashi and the first Lashon of Rashi? Right, the only thing that we see as being different is whether he mentions what it is about the other that's different. But the second Lashon doesn't mention it. The first one he mentions that what's different is the ability to watch, the person's ability to watch himself, and therefore the animal has to be a little bit smarter about how to go about the goring. But the second one doesn't tell us anything. Why is it that it requires a stronger dechifa sakaren in order to be able to get the person? So here's where I told you guys to look at the Rashi Maseches Shabbos. Rashi Maseches Shabbos on the same thing on that. The Lam Zayin? No. Nun Gimel. Dafin Gimel on base. Rashi there says that a person, Isle Mazala, has a Malach who's Melas who protects him. A Malach who protects him. And that makes it more difficult. Now, before we try to understand what Rashi means, how did I know to find that Rashi? No. No, not fancy Gemara.
Right here.
The what?
No,
the Gilyon Hashas. If you see, if you look in that Rashi, you see there's like, it used to look more like a soccer ball. Now it looks like a circle with a line through it.
Oh, yeah.
On Isle Mazala. So that sends you to the Gilyon Hashas. Who put together the Gilyon Hashas? Rabbi Akiva Eicher. Great to be given a year. And usually it's just Marakomos. You don't have no idea what Ricky Baker is talking about, and he'll just say, Ayein. Like here, look, what does he say?
He just
knew that. Ayein Shabbat Nim Gimelom Abeit Barati Libra Maslam Azal. He doesn't tell you what he says there. He just tells you, look.
It's about that.
Was he about that? He certainly could have been. I don't know if he actually was when he did this or not, but he certainly could have been. Oh. So that's how we know to look over there. But even Eger says, look there, it's Kedai looks there. And that's where it tells us that it is a malach. So again, what the malach means, that means that there's a shkaka pratis, I don't know exactly what it means, but a person has some sort of greater level of protection, and therefore it requires more effort by the animal to be able to elude the protection. So now, the two days are actually, the first one is that the person has a greater ability to outmaneuver or to protect himself, to be elusive because he can protect himself, and the second one is that he has protection from above. On both sides. So what's enough to be known between the two? What's enough to mean between the two is shown us in Rashi. Rashi is telling that there must be.
One is the. One over here is Rashi saying it's like more of this guy's to watch out, more of the cognizant of what's going around him. Rashi is more like.
So in what case would one reason apply and one reason not apply? That was sort of the test case that we could figure out. You know, if we figured out what the halakha was in that case, we would know which of Rashi's two reasons would apply. We don't necessarily know the halakha in that case, but it's an interesting way of just breaking down, making sure we have the distinction clear.
A non-Jew.
Well, first you need to find
So non-Jew would be interesting. Well, I mean, if you know if a non-Jew has a mazel or doesn't have a mazel, I don't really answer to that. I actually haven't brought this, so we may know the answer to that. It's my book that we've shown him, but a Jew certainly has more. I've brought this. Non-Jews may only have hashkafa flawless, but it doesn't say hashkafa. It says the malach melech. So I don't know if that's only Jews or not, if that's all people. If it's only Jews, then enough and nothing. That's enough for me. Yeah?
Just to clarify, all these answers basically assume, like the point that they've done is that it requires more to get to the person.
Yeah.
And therefore, we use a word that connotes a stronger.
Yes.
Kalana or something.
Yeah. Right. Which I think Rashi knows two things. So what
and each reason is that the person saying God because a human is smart, he can run away or whatever.
Right.
And the second one saying because he has some sort of angel protects him.
Correct.
So what does that even mean? And also,
I don't know
what does that mean? So the angel can't protect him when it's gory, but it can only protect him when the animal is good.
The angel protect, yeah.
What does that mean?
Are we trying to answer these questions?
Is it Akumina?
Yeah.
I would like to.
I think the angel only protects you from an animal.
Not what the angel does. I don't know if the angel does. But the angel does, I don't know.
It's not figures like a, like not being like, it just means not accepting him.
I don't know. What's an Akumina between the two? What difference does it make which angel to? What case would be an Akumina? But between the two opinions, two of the things that Rashi said. Again, because it helps to highlight the distinction if we can understand where one reason would apply and one reason would not apply. If they all apply in the same case, then why did Rashi tell us two things? Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe when he's guarding himself, the angels might guard him.
Okay.
Yeah, not through him.
Right. What about a case of the opposite? What about a case where he's not guarding himself and when the angel is guarding him?
So,
what?
He's sleeping.
Because how is he going to protect himself? Again, according to the first reason in Rashi.
Oh, meaning he can't protect himself.
Angel's protection, presumably, is still there when he's sleeping. With Ora, that would be one Nafkamina. And another Nafkamina, if you go in the same direction, presumably.
What about it's on the. If it's on the.
What comes out of Nafkamina?
What about comes out of Nafkamina?
Either way. Explaining why one Lashon Jesus was the mother because of the pattern.
Right, but if there wasn't any difference between the two, then why would Rashi say two things?
But what does this difference practically do? I don't get what it's telling you.
What do you mean?
Alright, so he's sleeping, so now there's an opportunity, so now how does it play back in the mirror?
Now I understand more clearly what the difference is in which of the two Shalom is correct. I don't have a way of proving which one is correct, but I can understand better why Rashi is giving us two, because there are practical differences between the two.
And there are times when only one applies.
Exactly. If Rashi told us two reasons, and they both always apply, then why did Rashi bother telling us two things?
What about the other way around?
Is there not being the other way around?
Like I said, can you be awake, but like your mouth's not helping you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about the mouth yet. Why are you doing that big? I don't know.
Maybe it's not on the guy just defending himself, maybe it's the guy's property it is. Meaning a malach will protect the guy from any random, like the tree gets hit by lightning and falls. But the guy, this is now on, like the guy can only protect himself, but from, you know, from things that are happening, so therefore you must watch your possessions.
Interesting. I'm not sure. I really can't, I couldn't come up with a good enough to mean that.
So what does a malach mean to me?
No. It sounds like there's a certain amount of. I would say like this.
Turning a couple of them on you.
does things through messengers, right?
Yes.
So maybe it's something like that.
The only thing I come up with, again, but you have to assume something that you might not be comfortable assuming. And then there's a Mahukas we showed him, whether somebody can hurt you
if Hashem doesn't want it.
Hashem doesn't, right, if it's not been decreed. Meaning it's always Hashem to practice when, let's say, somebody comes over and punches you in the face. Was that because Hashem needed you to punch in the face? Or is that because the guy's a jerk and punches you in the face? It could be both.
The chiyuv is
the other person's looking, right? Not your looking, as being the
like how much does Hashem allow for other people to decide about?
Right. Now this isn't a question of whether he knows or not. Knows or not is he knows. That's not a question. But does that mean that you deserved it? I mean, is it possible that you would get punched and something would happen to you and you didn't deserve it? Was it because somebody else is looking or they want to punch you in the face? It's a Mahukas in the Mepharshim.
Troubling.
Nowadays, with all the Hasidism out there, they don't like to assume things like this. They're very, very interested up front. You're believing Yitzchak, assume that you know, every leaf that falls off a tree is Hashgacha Pratis. Before him, I don't think anybody really assumed that. Right, well, that's the question. Is there such thing as Teva or not?
I mean, Teva is Hashgacha Pratis.
Again, it worked. That's one approach, but there's certainly a very legitimate approach that we've shown him that assumes that if one animal gores another animal in the wild somewhere.
No,
it's Hashem who put the nature to those animals, but it wasn't that he just decreed this animal needs to die right now.
The more
approach assume that every single thing that happens is Hashgacha Pratis.
Nothing's random.
Okay. There are other parts that assume that nothing that impacts a Jew that's random.
No, because I think it's ultimately...
That's not the thing! Two horses in the middle of wherever chase each other off a cliff, and they're not owned by a Jew, and there's no Jew for thousands of miles, and it'll never impact their lives. Is that Hashgacha Pratis or not? There are very legitimate opinions that would say no. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says that, again, none of this is going to explain why he decided, but that he allowed, when he put Teva in place, that at times the Jew maybe would call it Hashgacha Klolos. That things should just work in the normal way. When it impacts the Jew, or maybe when it impacts people, there are refersion that are distinguished between people and animals, there are refersion that are distinguished between Jews and everybody and everything else in the world. Rabbi Reisman, I've heard of his Navi Shir. I went to the Navi Shir once, many, many years ago. I was, I think, in high school. And went in Brooklyn. And it was the Motzei Shabbos. It was the Motzei Shabbos before Super Bowl Sunday. And this year was about Hashgacha Pratis. But the way, and he always has a cute way of sort of, you know, drawing it in, was he said, if you assume like them, is there Hashgacha Pratis? Is there Hashgacha Pratis? If the quarterback who throws it is not Jewish, but the receiver is Jewish. And there are many permutations. What if they're both not Jewish? And he was trying to draw out these distinctions. Or what if they're both not Jewish, but the owner of the team is Jewish, which happens to be true of a whole lot of teams in the NFL. Right? There's a rabbi I know who has this big obsession in modern orthodoxy with kids in sports. It's a little bit of a machala which exists, unfortunately. People spend so much time on all the extracurriculars of having their kids, you know, do four different, the tutors in sports, and there's not a penny spent on any additional time in learning. Makes no sense. Makes zero sense to me. So I have a rabbinic colleague I'm very close with, who has spoken, he goes, do you really think that your child is making the NBA, baseball, whatever else? So of course he has one volleyball player that I really think my, you know, everybody else knows, my son has a chance. Okay, that guy's somehow wacko. But the way that he says it,
6'8".
No, but the way that he said in the past, he goes, your child has a much better chance of owning a major league team than playing on one.
True.
It's a good nusa. But again, so the broader topic I spoke about a bunch of shows many years ago. Not so many years ago. Less years ago. There was it's probably in the last 10 years. There's this guy. He's a wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills. I think Watkins or something. Maybe he's retired by now. I don't know how long it was. So the guy, it was an overtime game, and he's wide open in the end zone. The quarterback, I don't know what it was at the time, throws the ball, he's got it in his hand, and he push it, drops it. So he was lost in coverage, game over. And he twitters afterwards.
Tweets me?
Tweets, sorry. He tweets afterwards, and he writes, he goes, no, he writes, God, I can't believe you did this to me. I do everything for you, and this is what you do to me. It was written in like slightly more colorful language, but that was the gist. That was the gist of what he wrote. So on many levels, it's a pella. But when I spoke about when I used it to speak in shul, so I said, did he even have a tie in that? Meaning maybe God had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he dropped it because he might have been hashkafa pratis. Again, I used it as a springboard to talk about hashkafa pratis. So maybe that's what the Malal was talking about. We really only have like 3 or 4 minutes left. I just want to at least make sure we get at least through until the last piece of the Gemara here, even though we won't be able to see that Tosfos, maybe not the Rashi inside. We just make sure that we at least finish with the, not to stop in the middle here. Oh, so that's one point. Okay, the second Akhavina, by the way, in terms of the two languages in Rashi, would probably be a Katan as well. A Katan doesn't have the Das to be able to elude, but has the protection of the Malach, presumably. Again, the Akhavina are better just to help you understand the difference between the two sometimes. Okay. Umilta Agaporte Kamashlan, we also, parenthetically, can learn from this. Demua the Adam, Ali Mua the Behema, Mua the Behema, Ali Mua the Adam. That if an animal is already considered the Yemuad for goring people, meaning he's gored people 3 times, then he's already considered the Yemuad for behemoths. Again, it's more vicious, whatever, it's more goring on the side of the behemoth. On the other direction, it's not true. We'll have to, maybe after the Tosos, because Tosos is very interesting in terms of the halachas of Muad. But if you're Muad, if an animal only gores other animals, it does not make him a Muad necessarily to gore people. Because again, it's a different type of action. That's what the Gemara is trying to draw forth here. How you have a mu'ah to kill Adam, so Rashi points out at the end, because there's a process. There has to be a meetup if they based it. There has to be the warnings, and there's a process. During that course of the process, it's potentially possible that the animal have already gored 3 times. So that's how it's possible. And then,
can we just do a quick announcement?
Yes.
I'm not here.
Yes.
I heard that actually we do not have